Why are moralism, mysticism, and speculation enemies of the Christian faith? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. It's written by regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can pre-order Broken by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. Regular listeners know that we're all about tradition here at Issues Etc. So, what is ahead for you in the next 2 hours is a traditional Issues Etc. Friday, kind of like the old days. Got listener email, Issues Etc. comment line. We even have blog of the week. And then we're going to be talking with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse a little bit about last week's general elections. We'll be spending some time with her talking about two things. First of all, those four referenda that had to do with gay marriage. Well, the proponents of natural marriage were losers on all four of them. Why was that? And then Catholic voters seem to have matched themselves to the general population in their support for President Obama, which is difficult to explain if they're really Catholic voters. We'll ask her about that. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. It's a little game we like to play here on Fridays. It's four soundbites that you listen to, and then you pick which one is Soundbite of the Week and your chance to win the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues T-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug pen, bumper sticker, and the Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mouse pad. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Welcome to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon. It's the 16th of November. Coming off, was this a full week? Is this the first full week we've done in forever? Is that right? Did we do a full week this week?
Yes.
Monday through Friday. Yes. Because we were thrown off by Issues Etc. 24, which was a full week plus 3 days done in 24 hours. And then before that, we had CTCR or something in there where Jeff was here. This is the first full week in a while.
Commission on Theology and Church Relations.
Commission on Theology and Church Relations, which takes Jeff away a couple times a year. And he goes, and did you eat any free lunches this time? I didn't see anyone ratting you out.
I shall always eat free lunches. Out of concern for the weaker brother, I shall always. Well, my typical tuna salad sandwich. It's quite good.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear it. That's also somewhat healthy. What was I saying? See, I can tell it's been a full week because I can't remember 1 minute to the next. Oh, I was talking about it being a full week. Well, so ahead on Issues Etc., we're going to be listening to the Issues Etc. comment line. That means that we respond to the things that you leave there. The comment line is open for you 24 hours a day. It's something that you can call in the middle of the night when you've just gotten done listening to a segment of Issues Etc. that may be weeks old, but you still want to chime in, you still want to make a suggestion. 618-223-8382. That's the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. But you can join us for the next 2 hours as well. Our toll-free number, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address, @issuesetc, or you can vote in advance for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week that comes up in the last half hour of the program. That's facebook.com/issuesetc. You can vote there, or just give us a call, 1-877-623-6943.
Proving that we haven't had a typical, normal, traditional Friday, I apologize for not doing my producer's job and giving your laundry list of how to begin the show with. So I apologize.
That's right. But people don't realize that in real radio, the producer largely, well, what is it? I'm the little marionette. I'm the little ventriloquist dummy.
Not true.
And the producer is the guy who's actually cracking the jokes and that sort of stuff. So if he doesn't write it on the screen, I often forget that I'm supposed to do it.
Would you like a joke? Would you like to begin with a joke?
Do you have a joke?
Well, I already shared this with you guys, so you probably won't laugh. You already heard it the first time, but I was looking. Craig and I were talking about our bathroom, which has been cleaned, I think, two times, maybe three times, counting the last time you did it.
Three times.
I did it once, and then we had a nice listener come in.
My mom did it once.
Oh, so that's four times in 4.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
4.5 years has been
cleaned. Sounds about right.
Four times, so we're averaging about one wash cleaning of that bathroom per year. So anyway, it's looking pretty bad. It went from green to yellowish. It's like yellow now.
If you want to picture it, and I'm not joking and I'm not exaggerating, in fact, I might be kind of underselling the idea. A gas station bathroom.
Yes, yes. Maybe worse.
I would say worse than the average gas station bathroom.
Yes, definitely worse than the QT bathroom, a Quick Trip bathroom.
Yeah. Well, they're really clean.
Yeah, they are clean. Very nice and clean. But anyway, so Jack, our second youngest out of five, five-year-old, kindergarten, says, Daddy, I want to get a job, he tells me. I said, really? I said, well, where'd you like work? He said, I want to work where you work. I said, well, we don't have anything for you to do, Jack. And he says, well, I'll clean your office. I said, okay, well, you can start with the bathroom. He goes, no, I'm not cleaning. I'm not touching the bathroom. I said, what are you going to do, son? And he's like, I'll pick up your boxes on the floor, which was quite astute because if you visit Lutheran Public Radio, there are boxes all over the place.
I was just talking to my wife about this last night. This is the set of Sanford and Son. That's what this office is now.
It's true.
You walk in. I'm amazed that people don't immediately comment when they walk in because we're so used to it, we don't see it. But if you can picture a pile of stuff kind of in the corner of every room and boxes lining the walls, and it is the set of Sanford and Son. It absolutely is. We could just do it right now. We could do the whole show. Bring in Red Fox and Dummies, I don't know who he was, bring them in and all the cast, and it would look perfectly at home. So
nothing's rusting, though, other than maybe it could be rust in the bathroom.
But have you really looked at the carpet? I mean, it's bad.
Yeah.
And I'm just amazed. People come and visit, and they're so polite. This just shows how polite our listeners are. We have listeners in here virtually every week from all over the country. They come to visit us. And none of them say, this is a dump.
You know that's what they're thinking.
But if I were to walk in here without being used to it, that would be my first thought. Is this is a total dump. What are you guys doing? What haven't you been doing? Can't you see this? You guys need therapy.
You know the 5-second rule when you drop something on the floor, you can still put it up, put it in your mouth. That doesn't apply to here.
There's a no second rule.
Exactly.
If you don't have it on a plate, I mean, oh gosh.
I think the rule here is if it gets within a foot of the floor, you got to throw it away.
But we recently had a guest.
A foot of the floor. You got to catch it in midair. Yeah. Don't even think about putting it back in your mouth.
If we recently had a guest in here, okay, and I didn't tell you guys about this, but I won't say who it was. But this guest, there was a noise during the entire hour. And I was trying to figure out what it was. Now, I eventually figured out that it was the guest was like rubbing his shoes together under the table. And I could hear it. I don't think you guys could hear it. Otherwise, you would have done something about it. But to me, it sounded for all the world like a mouse in the trash can. Now, you try doing a live radio program when you think there's a mouse in your trash can about ready to leap out at you. I'm not afraid of mice, but it was very distracting. And I was greatly relieved to look down and realize it was just my guest rubbing his fancy shoes together.
You know, if people don't know what we're talking about, you're more than welcome. We love visitors here at Lutheran Public Radio here in beautiful Collinsville, Illinois, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230. But forget it, you'll never find the number. So 1600 Gulfview Drive in Collinsville, Illinois. And stop, just call us in advance and we'll show you. You can see in person what we're talking about right now.
Oh, gosh. All right, what's up?
All right. This email comes from Jim. He says, after 66 years as an LCMS member, believing things might change, but after reading Luther's Jews and Their Lies, I can no longer remain with this deeply flawed and racist replacement theology, writes Jim.
Okay, he must be referring to the treatise that Luther wrote late in his life on the Jews and Their Lies, which is often been read, and it's often been used just exactly the way the listener there does, is to blame Luther for being racist or anti-Semitic. You know, I don't see it as a reason to leave. If you've been a Lutheran, you're in the Lutheran church body for 66 years for some reason other than Luther. Luther would be the first to admit that he's a poor, wretched sinner. Now, I don't happen to think that anti-Semitism was one of his particular sins, but he would be the first to admit that he was a terrible guy. Didn't you know that, being a Lutheran for 66 years? That's kind of what being a Lutheran is all about, realizing the depth of your depravity. There are good reasons to be Lutheran, and Luther's not one of them. The good reason for being a Lutheran is because it's the confession of the biblical truth, regardless of who Luther or any of his compatriots were, what kind of men they were. I'll say it again. There are many good reasons to be Lutheran, but Luther isn't one of them at all. So this isn't a cult of personality, and I'm sorry that you find yourself disappointed with Lutheranism. Maybe you, I mean, dare I suggest that you haven't understood what Lutheranism is really about for 66 years, or maybe you've forgotten. But I would hope you would understand that Lutheranism is about grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and found in Scripture alone. So what you find in the writings of Luther is prepare to be disappointed. Those things that do not make a Lutheran, Lutheran. Luther wrote a lot of stuff. The only thing Lutherans bind themselves to are what the Lutheran confessors said. Here is what Scripture plainly teaches. And none of them include anti-Semitism. Now, we have done programs on Luther and the Jews, haven't we, Jeff? We just recently talked with Ron Marshall, and he makes the argument that you cannot pin anti-Semitism on Luther. You can certainly blame him for a lot of things vis-a-vis the Jew, but not anti-Semitism. And then I think we once discussed with Dr. Uwe Simonetto, author of The Fabricated Luther, one of those myths about Luther being an anti-Semite. Now, with reference to what he called replacement theology, I suspect here that he's borrowing that language from the dispensational camp. Maybe you've been a dispensationalist for 66 years. I mean, maybe that's the case. But look, let me just give it to you straight, out of brotherly love. The real replacement theology is not Lutheranism. It is dispensationalism, because it replaces Jesus with Israel. That's a terrible replacement. We'll be right back.
Communication's never been as easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkins. It's Friday afternoon, November the 16th. We're coming to you live. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. We'll have blog of the week later. And then I guess we have someone added to the lineup after Jennifer Roback Morris. We talk about the Catholic voter and those referenda on gay marriage. Bill McKeever will join us to discuss. What did you tell me just now we were going to discuss?
Mormonism post Governor Romney's lost.
Oh, that's an interesting subject. I'm looking forward to that. Then, as usual, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
A little earlier, you talked about our live 24-hour continuous broadcast called Issues Etc. 24. Here's an email from Jerry. He says, I thought this program was about Lutherans and what we believe and what the Bible has to say to back us up. Alas, it's a commercial and fundraiser for this radio station. I am disappointed. It has been more commercial and talk about football games than God. What's the deal? Writes Jerry. Thanks for the email, Jerry.
I must have missed this part. Now, I am half conscious during half of Issues Etc. 24 due to the length and the lateness of the hour. Was this something you guys talked about during the break? Did you guys do football talk during the break? Because I usually leave the building during the breaks.
He's talking about two things. Number one, he's talking about your interview with George Borghardt, where you're talking about the Louisiana State-Alabama football game. Remember, George was live from Baton Rouge as that hotel, roach-infested hotel room in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I mean, if I fault George for anything, he'd talk more about the roach than football, but go ahead.
Yes, and then during the breaks, what he's referring to is during Issues Etc. 24, we break away and ask people to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. Now, we do time those breaks, so they're like 4 minutes. We try not to go more than 4 minutes during the break.
I mean,
there's
one
two
hour,
of those per hour.
Right, two per hour. I sat down and did the math, and if the bottom of the hour break is 2 minutes and the top of the hour break is 4 minutes, let's say average it out, we're talking about 144 minutes in 24 hours.
Yeah, but each break was 4 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, so but basically 52 minutes per hour were the program.
Okay.
But Jerry wasn't happy with that. Now, the football, but during, remember one of the breaks, my alma mater, Edwardsville High School, was playing the nationally powerhouse East St. Louis Flyers in the third round of the state football playoffs, in which we did upset them. So I think that's what he was talking about as well.
Well, look, it is a fundraiser. I think we make that completely, absolutely, completely clear. I mean, we pre-promote Issues Etc. 24 as a 24-hour fundraiser, but it's not only fundraiser. It is 24 hours minus those breaks. Yes, there are two of them an hour, minus those breaks where we do very humbly ask for our listeners' support, which is, by the way, how we stay on the air. So you could call it a marathon, a telethon, whatever you want it to be, but out of those 24 hours, very little of it is actually break. And out of those 24 hours, while I admit maybe the subject might stray occasionally, but I don't remember Pastor Borghardt spending 2 hours talking about football. I think if I know George, he spent 2 hours talking about Jesus. Now, there may have been a few minutes in there where he made reference to football, but I know George pretty well. And I'm pretty darn sure that if we give him 2 hours to talk, he'd rather talk about Jesus than football. So please go back and listen again. And for those of you who want to hear the substance of Issues Etc. 24, go to our website, issuesetc.org, right there on the homepage. In addition to a way that you can support Issues Etc., there is a link to all 24 hours of Issues Etc. on demand. You can listen for yourself, judge for yourself whether or not, you know, we asked for money too much or we didn't spend any time talking about the Lutheran faith. I think we actually struck a very proper balance between the two.
Contrary to Jerry, most of the email was very positive concerning Issues Etc. 24. Just let me read a couple of them. If you want to stop, just jump on in, Wilkie.
These are responses to Issues Etc. 24.
Chris says, listening now in Virginia 24-hour broadcast, I really like the Pastor Peter Bender segment. I want to tell you how much your programs have informed me since I started listening nearly 4 years ago. Thank you for all that you do, and may God continue to bless you. Let's see. This is Steve in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I have just completed listening to 18 of the 24 podcast hours.
Wow.
I want to tell you how much I've enjoyed listening to these two-hour sessions on single topics of doctrine. If, for one, Issues Etc. 24 becomes a burden, not if. If for
one, finish if the one, email,
Issues
then we'll respond
24
to that part.
Becomes a burden, you might consider occasionally using a regular two-hour show in the same manner. Now, that's Craig's dream. Craig's dream, the perfect show, because Craig puts them together after the show before you put them up as podcast.
We've come close, but we've never done it.
I think we did one time. I don't remember what it was. We did do one guest, 2 hours, same topic.
Same topic.
So it's one big audio file, so there's not as much work for Craig to do, and Steve is suggesting something similar.
Okay. Now, you said if it becomes a burden. I'll just be quite honest with you. Issues Etc. 24 is hard work. I mean, it's not only hard work leading up to it and going away from it. It's hard work when you're doing it. And my wife has told me this year was the last year for Issues. She said, come up with a better idea. Come up with a new idea. I don't care what it is, but no more you staying up. Because she has to deal with the zombie that I am for the next day and a half. It's just the way. I mean, at 48 years old, you don't do 24 hours wide awake on your feet of live radio and not walk away from it somewhat, well, with some diminished mental capacity. Let's just put it that way. And it takes a while for it to return. But it's we consider it a way of saying thank you to our listeners. That was how it was originally conceived. I think it was Jeff's idea originally. So if any of the wives want to blame anybody, they can blame Jeff. And he said, let's just do 24 hours. Let's just go and do it. Let's just see how it works. And to me, it's always a way of saying to our listeners, this is how deeply we appreciate you and your support and your listening to the show. And it's our way of our gesture, our 24-hour gesture of thanks to our listeners. That's how I like to conceive of it when the work is hard. It helps me keep the perspective that this is something that we need to do.
And we're looking for, as always, we just take our ideas from our listeners. The first 2 years, we did books of the Bible over two-hour periods. This last year was more topical, systematic theology, so to speak. Original sin, justification, new obedience, good works, baptism, Lord's Supper, those kind of things. So I'm thinking history. That might be a little difficult. I'd like to know what our people think about 24 hours of history from the apostles to today. What do they think about that? Or they might have a better idea.
I like that idea. It's one 24-hour story.
Yeah, the key is finding historians who can do the overnight shifts from midnight to 6. Usually it's a 2 to 6 shift is the tough one. Or in this case, this year would have been a 1 to 5 shift. Because we started at 3 Central Time. But I don't know. What do you guys think about 24 hours of church history? Or you got a better idea? Let us know. Talkback@issuesetc.org.
I always like the way that Jeff describes why we do Issues Etc. 24. His response is, because we can. Because we can. So it's kind of like, why did you climb the mountain? Because it was there. It's a challenge. Challenge accepted, as we say. Listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line here in the first hour of Issues Etc. And you can join us 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us one of those emails, talkback@issuesetc.org. If you have a better idea than Jeff, lots of people do, talkback@issuesetc.org. What's up next?
Let's take one more Issues Etc. 24, then I'll be done with it. John in Highland Ranch, Colorado. I just love Pastor Peter Bender, and 2 hours of him is still not enough. Just thinking of the night you guys have ahead of you is making me tired. Your resolve to do this has bolstered my resolve to stop being a podcast freeloader. I'm ready to step and become a member of the Reformation Club. I'm so thankful for all that you guys do. Thank you, and thank the Lord for your vocations. In just about a year, I've learned so much and grown so much in Christ through Issues, etc. Thank you again, and thank you for listening, John, in Highlands Ranch, Colorado.
Well, thanks for listening, Colorado, John. The people, I think a few people, at least the way that we could actually watch the live numbers during Issues, etc. 24, they could there in the control room. And some people actually stuck with us all 24 hours, which is remarkable to me. And we had, listeners with us, again, which is remarkable to me. In the dead of night, when it wasn't daylight any place except for, say, Australia, where we were talking to Dr. John Kleinig. And that, I really appreciate the voice of gratitude that our listeners have, but our gratitude toward our listeners is as great. It's remarkable and it's humbling to know that we have listeners that are that dedicated and that interested and have their ears wide open, some of them even all through the night. And thank you. I mean, that's my message after Issues Etc. 24 is thank you for listening and supporting the program.
Hello. I've been thinking about both pietism and antinomianism, and I'm wondering, how do I guard myself against antinomianism in the midst of evangelical pietism? Thanks again.
Well, that's a great question. Okay, first of all, before we get to the break here, let's define those things. First, pietism, which is kind of a technical term. Jeff was talking about the history of the church. In church history, pietism is a technical term for a movement. Now, it's born out of a distortion of Lutheran theology in the 18th century, maybe even a little earlier than that. But it really reaches its flower in the 19th century and beyond. And it's a belief that certainty is a sin. That you have to find, if you're certain of your salvation, there's something wrong. That's what pietism is, the belief that certainty of your salvation is a sin. So you have to remain kind of perpetually uncertain. So you ground your uncertainty on your own works, your own prayers, your own struggle. And it displaces Christ, who is the only source of our certainty. I'll talk more about that after this. Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrive and Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrive and Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrive and Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
Hi, this is Jonathan Collin from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. Very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Physician-assisted suicide's been legal in Oregon for 5 years, so the Center for Ethics and Health Care at Oregon Health and Science University did some research to see how things were going for the patients involved. The results were published in the prestigious Journal of the American Medical Association. What they found is shocking and should change the way many people feel about euthanasia. The research shows 90% of patients who asked their doctors for help in killing themselves changed their minds and chose to live. It turns out their biggest fear when first requesting the lethal prescription was pain. Later, they found out their pain could be managed and decided not to end it all. This clearly shows we need to provide basic comfort care to terminal patients, not death.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Most other people call it contemporary worship. It's not contemporary. It's 200 years old. It's called revivalism.
It's just the time in which we live and we're called to live. And it means we bear witness, confess with charity, but also We're going to be called ever more forthrightly and more often to stand up.
He says to them, "You render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's, and I will show you what God's payment is. I will be the payment that you cannot be."
We have a president and a political party dedicated to the proposition that an entire class of human beings can be set aside to be killed. That is no light matter.
1 hour from now, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's just a taste of the four soundbites that we have to play for you. We'll play them for you, and then you vote. You give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. And you get to pick Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll also be giving away the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues T-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug pen, bumper sticker, and the Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mouse pad to the listener with the best vote during Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Now, before the break, we had a comment from the Issues Etc. comment line asking about how do you avoid pietism. I'm sorry, how do you avoid being antinomian in the kind of the pietism of American Christianity? I explained before what pietism is, this historic movement that is, if you want to see what pietism looks like, just go to the average big box church. Those conservative evangelical churches out there, that's pietism. It is work, pray, struggle, do your best, and hopefully at some point you can maybe have some sliver of certainty of your salvation. But if you're uncertain, then work harder. Do better. Try harder. And then maybe you might have some sliver of certainty in your salvation. But if you're still uncertain there, then redouble your efforts. Pietism through and throws all of one's certainty back upon, well, we call it today, one's moral improvement, one's own self-improvement. There's a lot more to it than that, but that's it in a nutshell. Oh, by the way, if you also want to see pietism, go to any mainline liberal church where it takes a different form. But that's actually where pietism, the road of pietism ended, in mainline liberal Protestantism, where they finally stop looking for certainty at all. And they essentially just become kind of universalists. And they throw out God's word. Because none of those things really matter when it's all about me struggling and trying to do best. It's a pietism writ large on society. We're going to make the world a better place. Now rather than making me a better person, I'm going to make the world a better place. Now, he asks about antinomianism. This is, a theological term that means, it means against the law, or instead of the law. It's a rejection of the law as having any place in the life of the Christian, saying that the law of God, that written in our hearts or written in Holy Scripture, no longer applies to the Christian in any shape, matter, or form, and that the Christian can disregard the law because he's living under grace. He's free now. And those are the two kind of polar opposites that you find in American Christianity today. How do you keep from falling off the horse onto the antinomian side of the street when the last thing you want to do is fall off the other side of the horse onto the pietist side of the street? I got a suggestion. Just stay on the horse. Stay on the horse. Stay with the word of God that will take you down the path the right way. See, this is what happens to pietists. They reject the word of God, the gospel, essentially, that gives certainty outside themselves. And so they have nothing but their own works within themselves to produce the certainty that they're looking for. And the antinomian error is that he rejects the law from God's word. So that he says, God no longer has anything to say to me about my sin. Stay on the horse. The proper distinction between law and gospel is the only antidote to legalism, pietism, antinomianism, the proper distinction between law and gospel. When you open your Bible, let the law speak to you. And what you hear it saying, you say, all right, give it to me because I need to hear this. And don't soften it and don't reject it. And the gospel doesn't trump the law. The gospel answers the law in the person of Jesus Christ. And when you open the Bible, read the gospel and say, I need to hear this. Give it to me. Because the law has told me of my need for it. It sounds simple, but I think that's the only antidote we have to either of those errors.
A programming update. In about 10 minutes, Alan Cooperman of the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life will be with us to talk about how the faithful voted. Then we'll go to Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, the beginning of the second hour, talking about the Catholic vote in the 2012 election and the state ballot initiatives on same-sex marriage. And then Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry will be with us to talk about Mormonism post-defeat of Governor Romney.
See, issues, et cetera, it's like a fine bottle of wine. You take it, and the longer it sits there, the better it gets. Even this show, this show is a great example. With every passing minute, the show becomes better. There's more to it. There's more to wait for. So,
hey, quick Facebook post from Daniel. He says, if Jack Bauer fights terrorists for 24 hours, then you guys can do 24 hours of radio. If you do not, Jack Bauer will not let you use his clock sound ever again.
Okay.
And Pat already likes the idea of history. She says, Pat in Michigan, she says, I vote for history. I love history. I've been enjoying the 24-hour broadcast archives, and I'm sure I will be listening to all my favorite ones over the next year. So Pat was a vote for history. And somebody else called in, I believe her name was Marcia, talked about interviewing missionaries around the world. I said, well, that we'd have to get a lot of missionaries, because I don't know if we could do two-hour blocks of missionary interviews. But thank
you
so much for
your suggestions. Yeah, those do tend to be kind of shorter form interviews. All right.
Oh, I just got another email. A woman named Carol Schwartz. She says, don't forget to mention your wedding anniversary. It's today.
It is?
Yeah, happy anniversary, Beth.
How many years?
16. 16. Thanks, Mom. Somebody's got my back.
Mom's got your back. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, we got a couple phone calls. You want to take them?
Absolutely.
It's Andy in Kirkwood, Missouri.
I wouldn't know since there's nothing on my screen, but thank you for letting me know. Andy in Kirkwood.
Hi, Todd. This is in regard to the caller that didn't like Luther's so-called anti-Semitism. I have heard an aphorism recently. Sometimes I say what I think before I think about what I say. And that may have been true of Luther. Sometimes, you know, he was a pretty hard-headed old German. Sometimes he would just open his mouth and whatever came out, came out. However, a recent guest on your show explained that Luther was not anti-Jew. He was anti-Judaism. And anti-Judaism would mean that he would be against the Judaizers. Well, St. Paul was anti-Judaizers. And that's what Martin Luther was. And you might go ahead and comment on that.
And the other conversations that we've had, Andy, on the subject have cleared it up for me. None of our guests have ever said that we defend the harsher things or the harsher steps that Luther suggested be taken against the Jews. Now, he didn't do it from a spirit of anti-Semitism. He just said these people are blaspheming the gospel. He actually, early in his career, hoped that the Jews, he actually believed that since the gospel had been uncovered, the Jews might actually, since they might be hearing it for the first time in a long time, believe it. And he was bitterly disappointed that the Jews, not only, they just acted like they did when Christ first came and they heard the gospel, largely turned away from it. And he saw their public blasphemies, which is what he speaks against the most, as just intolerable. You don't allow someone to blaspheme Christ. Remember, he's living in a world where there's no separation of church and state, where the church has power to execute all kinds of laws through the civil government, where there were anti-blasphemy laws. But I think he's quite right. His point was the gospel. Not to excuse some of the remedies that he suggested with respect to the Jews. Let's see what Lael has to say. Lael's calling from her cell.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Very well.
We had a Bible study a couple weeks back about the two theologies, the cross of glory and the cross of, what's the other one?
You're thinking about the theology of the cross and the theology of glory?
Yeah, those two. And And it kind of parallels what you were talking about earlier with the issue, like the feel-good Christian religion, you know, in terms of it's not about us, it's always about God. And we, you know, the focus is not on us. The central focus is always on the Lord. So we take it back all the time, don't we, Todd? We kind of go back and forth a lot of times where we should get caught up in that glory thing.
Oh, absolutely, Lael. Thank you very much for the call and for the observation. The reason we get caught up in the theology of glory, here's the distinction. The theology of glory says I can determine how God is disposed toward me, how he feels about me in modern parlance, based upon the circumstances of my life. I can look around and see things are going well. God must really be pleased with me. The theology of the cross says, no, no, no. You cannot determine God's disposition towards you by the circumstances of your life. You can only determine God's disposition towards you by looking at the cross. That's the only way. So when things are going well for you, that doesn't mean necessarily that God is pleased with you. When things are going poorly for you, that does not mean that God is displeased with you. You only look to the cross to determine how God is disposed toward you. More on that after the break. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Faithful confession trumps company loyalty. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Guard us through what deceives us.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
So tell me why.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. In just a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Alan Cooperman of the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life about religion in the 2012 general election for a few minutes to round off this hour of Issues Etc. this Friday afternoon, November the 16th. Lael had a call before the break. I want to take a few minutes to wrap up my response to her. She talked about how we often slip into a theology of glory. Now, the theology of glory says that I can determine how God is disposed toward me by looking at the circumstances of my life. And if you think about it, this is our – why do we slip into it? Why do we continually fall back into that? Because the theology of glory is our natural fallen theology. And it forms the framework of every single religion in the world. It's more crass forms like Joel Osteen. You know, if you have prosperity in your life, that is a direct sign of God's favor towards you. He just comes out and says that. But notice what happens. The onus, The responsibility lies entirely with you. In Joel's theology, it is, you know, you want to see God's signs of God's favor? Well, you got to think right. You got to speak right. It's superstition. It's a framework of every religion. How do I know if, how does a Muslim know if he's right with Allah? Well, he's got to be obedient. He's got to coordinate the circumstances of his life through his actions, through his decisions, in order to somehow hopefully please his God. And then if it's a quid pro quo, if he does this, then God will fulfill his end of the bargain. And we could say this with certainty, that the theology of glory is a framework for every religion except for Christianity, because every religion except for Christianity has no cross. They can't be a theology of the cross if they have no Christ and him crucified. Now, this is the great kind of paradox of being a Christian, that where your flesh and every impulse of your fallen mind tells you that that God is favorably disposed toward you when your life is going well, and that somehow you brought that about by being obedient. Every fiber of your being tells you this, that this is how God must deal with you. And the world around you reinforces it by saying, this is how it goes. You don't get something for nothing. You got to earn your way. If you work hard and play by the rules, then we know how to end that sentence, don't we? It must work that way with God. But while every fiber of our being is telling us this, the Word of God says no. There is only one place to look to be certain of God's favor towards you. And there's only one place where God's favor is not only certain, but accessible to you. And that is in the man hanging dead on the cross for you, Jesus Christ and him crucified. So when your life is good, you look to the cross. When your life is bad, you look to the cross, the same place.